It gives me great comfort that this So You Think You Can Dance All-Star is in studio with us today.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
I'm pretty punny, aren't I? You guys, welcome to our second episode of To The Point with Kristen Burt, presented by Dance Network and Popcorn Talk. We are so excited to have this season 14 So You Think You Can Dance All-Star. And I called it our friendiversary, our five-year friendiversary. Yes. Comfort Fidoki.
What's up? Woo-hoo.
Welcome.
Ooh, the applause.
I know. I'm so excited you're here because I have so much to ask you. And I want to let everyone know, this is what a good friend Comfort is. We tried to make this happen for the test show.
Yeah, yes. We did.
And she said yes, you know, not knowing what it was going to be and what's going to happen or anything else like that. Your schedule was crazy. My schedule was crazy. They didn't align, but I appreciate you making the effort to try
Absolutely.
And make it happen.
You my girl, man. 5 year anniversary.
5 year friendiversary.
Friendiversary. Hashtag.
I know. I know. It is sweet, isn't it?
I love that.
Oh. I know. Well, this is like a whole hour kind of like about you and your dance career and your dreams and your hopes. And I kind of love being able to sit down and do this because, you know, we've done a lot of So You Think You Can Dance talk over the years and things like that. But I know you're working on so much more. But yeah. We're going to start from the beginning.
Okay, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's round it up.
And, you know, one thing that I thought was really interesting, and that I was like, I've never talked about this with Comfort. You were born in Texas, but you spent some years in Nigeria.
Yes. Yes, well, okay, so I was born in Fort Worth, Texas, mm-hmm. and it kind of got like, you know, mixed up for how long I was staying in Nigeria, but I went to Nigeria, let's say I was maybe 4 years old, mm-hmm. maybe 4 years old, I can't really remember, so I was there for a little bit, and I was there because my father wanted me to understand the language, the culture, my grandmother, I call her my Onyoseme, and my Onyoneme, my grandmother, my grandfather, so they can be able to just understand just the culture and the, I guess, how you speak to elders in the respect form of it. And even though I was young, it was so embedded in me. By the time I came back home, I was just like,
where am I?
What's going on here? Are we still in Africa? Or
like, you were around 8 when you returned?
No. I wasn't 8. No, it was. I think that kind of got mixed up somewhere. Somewhere in the world, they said that. But I was only there for like a year. Like, I was not there for that long. But it felt like it was so long because of how much I learned and how different the world was then. Like, in perspective of what America is in comparison to being in Nigeria, where like some things aren't a luxury like that we have out here, like lights.
You're like, hey, I know, we don't like even
lights,
think about that.
You know what I mean? And it was very different. My dad told me when I came back to America, my dad was like, I said, what are all these lights? Like, what are all these lights doing? Turn off these lights. Y'all are burning the bill. Like, I'm like, what? You're 5 years old. What are you talking about?
But you were young enough that I was young enough. Didn't remember what life was like before in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then you went to Nigeria.
Yeah.
Do you think that that's something you still carry with you? Like, it's ingrained
Absolutely.
In you?
Absolutely. It's still ingrained in me because my father still raised, even though I was born here, and raised pretty much here. I was raised with the Nigerian culture and the Nigerian mentality, the food, so I can cook the food and all this other stuff. So I was raised like and around some of them because in Dallas, Texas, there's a lot of Nigerians actually.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's a lot of Nigerians that live in Dallas, Texas. A lot of them end up coming to Houston or Dallas at some point. I don't know why, but the cost of living is lower. I think it's starting to go up now because you know everyone's starting to catch the drift. But the cost of living is incredible. So a lot of people go there.
That's fascinating. See, and I was like, I don't think I knew this. It was just one of those things that I'm like, I have to ask her about that because it's got to be one of those things. It's so influential on who you are and how you carry yourself forward.
True, absolutely. And it's so great because a lot of people even think that my name is a stage name. Comfort is my stage name. And I'm like, no, it's actually my real name. And then when I say it's such a common name in Nigeria, actually. So if you meet anyone whose name is Comfort, normally 9 times out of 10, they're from Nigeria. So my grandmother's name is Comfort. I actually know a few people named Comfort. It's a little weird, but I like to be special. So it feels a little weird.
You're special. You are the only Comfort I know. So right. You are special
but
to me.
But it is. But it's like it's a common name, like Brittany or Kristen.
Yeah, Kristen. There's lots of Kristens out there. Let's talk about your training, because this was another thing. I went back and watched our old AfterBuzz TV interview, the very first time you came on, which was season 9, and just talking about your training. And you're like, I had 2.5 years of formal training, because you started out as an athlete.
Yes.
Dancers are athletes. Let's qualify that. Yeah. But you started off in track and field.
Yes, absolutely. It was my passion. I wanted to go to the Olympics. It was just, there was nothing else above running. So I started when I was like 6 or 7, and my dad is a runner. He's really fast. He's still fast. I've tried to compete against him one time and he dusted me. So I'll never do that again. Okay. So yeah, I started off in track and like just sports period. I was just a big, huge tomboy. And when it came down to things like that, and dance honestly was secondary. I didn't have any rhythm. I only knew how to do the electric slide. That was all my whole thing. That's all I needed to know. Mom taught me electric slide. I did it to every Janet Jackson song, and that was it. And so up until the point of, I feel like when I got hurt by my freshman year in high school is then when I decided to put, you know, track on the back burner. Things just didn't work out. Like, you know, life just switched and changed. Mm-hmm. And the 4x1 team that we did have, the 4 girls that we had that were the, like, all-star team, we all kind of dispersed and went to different schools. And a lot of drama, a lot of things that happened in the city. You know, it's just it's a lifestyle. So things just didn't work out that way. But dance was, like, my second hobby, because as I was getting into my track and loving my sport and wanting to, like, you know, actually have that as my career, getting scouted by people in middle school. Mm-hmm. So dance was my second love, because it was just starting to be this thing that I could actually express myself in a different type of movement type of way. So I was able to kind of, you know, bring them together a little bit.
And you were kind of self-taught at that point, right? You weren't studying.
No.
There's no YouTube.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there was no YouTube. Oh, God. YouTube was just starting, actually. Well, around that time. By the time I got, like, 15 or 16, YouTube was starting to just be a thing where people were just placing things online or whatever. So we were starting to see a little bit more things around the world. It was more of a self-taught situation. I just watched, you know, Velvet Rope was my favorite to watch. Janet Jackson's Velvet Rope.
I love Janet Jackson.
NSYNC, Madison Square Garden. Don't get me started.
There.
Loved me some Justin Timberlake.
Knew that entire.
Yeah. Oh yeah. My first talent show was It's Gonna Be Me, and I knew that dance from top to bottom.
And that was amazing.
And I did it. I think that was actually the day in 7th grade when I did the It's Gonna Be Me talent show. And I did it. My mom said, if no one's gonna dance with you, be a one man show. So I just found an outfit that looked just like Justin Timberlake's outfit, bedazzled my bandana, and went on stage and did it. And the applause that I had, and like everyone standing up and screaming, and that type of like reaction I had for just being this person, one person on stage, is the day that I think I was like, oh, wow, I think I love dance just as much as I love this sport.
You became a performer that day.
I did.
It was the birth of.
It was the birth.
It is that you have that, like Oprah always says, you have that aha moment. That was yours.
Yeah.
That's kind of amazing. Now, I know for high school, you did go to performing arts high school.
I did.
Where you got, like, professional training.
Right, after 4 different high schools, I went to 4 different high schools, and then I finally landed into Booker T. Washington, because you had to audition to get in there. So then I had to go to a couple of schools. I went to another high school before going to Booker T, just to wait to get accepted or not. Mm-hmm. And I also had to go to this Dallas Black Academy, which was also a place where they trained the students who wanted to go to the school as well. So wow. I took like a summer there before I actually went to hopefully get into the school. But my dad, you know, I think the story goes all over the place, but my dad had lied to me and told me there was hip hop at the school. And there was no hip-hop, because that was the only reason why I was like, yeah, cool,
great,
sure, I'll learn some of all this other stuff as long as hip-hop is there. I was like, good, no hip-hop, lied to me. But it's fine, because I tried. What I did by the time I got into the school, I was forming crews and groups of girls together. We were a group I had called the Aaliyah's Angels. When Aaliyah passed away, I loved her. She was a big, you know,
one in a million.
She was a big part of my, I feel like, my upbringing of style and music and stuff like that. So I had formed groups. I formed, like, a step team crew. Like, I just did anything to try to implement hip-hop at the school. Did the staff care or want to, you know, help it more? I mean, here or there, you know what I mean? Like, it's one of those schools that was very strict about, like, contemporary, like ballet, jazz. And then we had African, which was great. Mm. African class was amazing. But when it came down to any other element of dance, you kind of had to make it happen for yourself. And that's what I did. And it was great. They gave us that freedom.
I think that's so funny because now they'd be like, we want crews. We need crews. Girl crews, guy crews, mixed gender crews, whatever.
Yeah, we need all of it.
It's so different, you
now,
know?
Now,
give me some crews.
Now it is different. But 2.5 years there, and I felt, I guess, prepared in what I did. But I actually ended up loving and respecting all forms of dance because of it. And I didn't just only have this mindset of just hip-hop only.
When you're dropped into that ballet class, though, where you're like, what am I doing? For even just for a moment. I mean, it is so different. There's a lot less freedom. There's so much more discipline in terms of, like, you're at the bar and you're in this position and your hair's in a bun and that's that.
And it's hard. It looks easy, but it is hard. Like, first off, those tights and the leotard, when I first jumped in that, I was like, I don't know what y'all think this is, but I'm not wearing this all day. Like, it was just, it was like my first instinct. But it was just only because I wasn't necessarily that comfortable with showing my body like that. You know, I was very much a clothed person. If there was one thing you saw about me, it was like showing my stomach because I thought I was like TLC or something. so that was the closest to it. Got it. But it is one of those things to get dropped into that world and truly just try to embrace it the most you can and the best you can. And I guess the short, like, hour and a half or whatever. And then, it was a little bit tough because I was so used to always being good at something that it felt like I was always either trying to catch up. It was like that catch-up moment. And that's how it also felt when I ended up getting on the show for So You Think after that. I just felt like I was trying to, like, find that technique again.
I have to say, though, I mean, your natural athleticism, you have a gift because not many people can just be like, I did 2.5 years of training and now I'm on So You Think. I mean, like, you are so lucky because I would be someone that would be like, I've had 35 years of training and I still haven't made it to So You Think.
Like, I feel you.
No, it's true. So, it's really a tribute to, like, what your body's capable of and what you were born to do. It's amazing.
Yeah, you have to innately want it. Like, you just have to, it is innately in you to, like, I feel like this rhythm that I have. Being from Nigeria, honestly, my dad actually has incredible natural rhythm. Like, he doesn't, like, dance. He doesn't give you a 5, 6, 7, 8, but he'll give you a couple of drops, like, out of nowhere. Like, bow. Like, and my mom is honestly the dancer. My mom is honestly a really amazing groover and dancer. And so I feel like it was almost destined to be my, I guess, the directional pool of where I'm going. But I just didn't see it coming yet until it just happened.
Yeah, because you're like, I'm going to the Olympics.
Yeah, that's I'm going to be the best hurdler in the world. And I was just, that's all I wanted to do.
Yeah, and life's like, we're going to throw you a curveball that you're not expecting.
Yeah, yeah.
And what a good curveball it wound up being.
It is an amazing, amazing curveball. It really is.
Well, let's talk about that So You Think audition, because you got in on the first try, right?
I did.
You didn't go year after year like some contestants have to.
Yeah, it was a surprise. I honestly went with no expectations. It was just very much so, like, I have nothing to lose. There's nothing to lose. Nothing comes to Dallas.
Were you watching the show, like, seasons 1 through 3?
I had seen season 3. Mm-hmm. I hadn't seen the seasons beforehand. I wasn't very much of a TV person. I was out in them dance streets or track streets. Or I was out all the time.
You were working.
Like, I was always just working,
dancing,
hustling,
working.
Going to school, teaching, because I was also teaching, just having that money on the side and, like, working. So it was, my hustle was crazy. So I only, like, caught, like, here and there from season 3, and I thought it was a very interesting show. I was like, oh snap, this is great, blah blah blah. And then when I found out that it was coming the next season to SMU, it was one of those things that a couple of my godbrothers and a few of my best friends was just like, yo, let's just go. I'm like, all right. By that time, I was already out of high school for like a year, maybe. And so I was going to college, and I was supposed to, like, you know, I was going to college to go to journalism and broadcasting. I wanted to, like, switch completely.
You're
going to
sit here.
Yeah. I actually wanted to be more of a, I actually wanted to be like a news, not a news broadcaster, a sports broadcaster.
Oh, yeah.
Because I just loved, obviously, I just loved sports. So I kind of wanted to go down that field and see if I couldn't do track. I wanted to see if I can somehow be a part of the sports world. then all of a sudden the show came and I didn't get a chance to finish school because it literally just was, I had no expectation. I literally tell people all the time too when they get nervous, it's like, if you just kind of just jump in it and just allow yourself to just be who you feel like you are within the dance, that's all they can pick. Like, all this, all they can touch and understand and be like, you know what, we need this for the show, or we don't need it for the show.
Yeah.
And I pretty much just came in with that same idea. I had support from friends and family, and I went to Vegas and I was like, are you sure? Oh, in Vegas, I'm on top 20. Oh, and I'm just crazy. I'm just like this, like, untrained, unfiltered person.
Like, I have no idea.
Which I feel like that was my perfect year. I think they just wanted unfiltered, untrained, ridiculous personality, because we had so many personalities on that season. It was an incredible season. It was an incredible cast. It casted that season really well.
Yeah, I think it's one of the legendary seasons. And you know that there's a great, like, clip out there floating on the internet that's literally Nigel going, "You are the best hip hop dancer we've ever
seen." Yeah, I
have
my curly
show.
Hair. And I was like, done by braces.
Great. Was that a prepared solo, or did you just kind of freestyle?
No, I just kind of went up there. I just went up there. I just said, let me throw a leg in. I remember I was like, leg, pow, boom, 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 boom. And Crump around that time was huge, and I was really into Crump. Me and my godbrothers were very much into Crump, and so that's kind of what I prepared my solo around, and that's honestly still where my dance comes from. And I just winged it, to be quite honest. I used to never come with anything prepared. It was just more so about how I felt at the moment.
That's amazing. I'm the opposite of that. I'd be like the type A, like, I've had my solo for 6 months. And totally opposite. This is funny. Well, and then you're in Vegas, and this is the thing. You're going through lots of styles. You're going through jazz, and you're going through, like, ballroom. There's a great, actually, Marissa, if you can pull it up, there's a great ballroom photo that it's on the Fox website. It's on the press site.
Oh, really?
Doing ballroom from the show, and I was like, this is amazing.
Wait, who, me?
You, yes.
Oh, God.
From your
wait,
season.
Wait, was it when I was with, was I dancing with Josh?
Yeah, I think so.
I think I was
the monitor's not on, so I can't see it, but
right,
it's
hilarious.
I was like, okay, great, thank you. We're going to, I'm going to send it to you,
okay,
because
perfect.
You should have this in your archives. It's like the ballroom shoes.
Oh, but yeah. Was
there
it
might
it?
Even be tights involved. I'm not even sure.
Oh, snap. Wait, was it during Vegas week, or is it when I was on the show?
You were on the show.
Oh, it was. Oh, I had a. They just.
It was Chris. You were dancing with Chris, I think.
Okay. So I was probably in. It wasn't the bra, panties, and beads situation, was it? Was it the bra, panties, beads? It was a jive. I had the jive, which was hilarious, but I pulled my shoulder out of place from that routine. They gave me, that was the last time they gave me anything with, like, no clothes on. And then after that, I was, like, fully clothed from, like, neck down to the ankle. Like, it was, it's full clothes. Ankle.
I don't want to see any flesh.
Any flesh. Nothing. She is a smooth waltzer. Like, and that's all I did after that was, like, the Viennese waltz, smooth waltz, like.
I was like, I don't think I've ever seen this, but I just, you know, it's been a while since season 4, so I was like, I have to save this photo and give it to you, because
please do, please do.
And I told this to Sandra last week. I was like, Fox has kept all the archives of the photos from all the seasons, which is amazing, because usually networks scrub the press sites after each season happens. So Dancing with the Stars happens, it gets scrubbed.
Okay.
I'm expecting the same thing to happen with World of Dance. It gets scrubbed.
Oh.
They have everything from season 1 all the way through season 14. Now.
Ooh, that must be incredible.
It's a treasure trove.
It's
a treasure trove. It's so genius. That's why I was like, look at this ballroom photo.
I have to see it.
Yes, it's so good. Now, what was your family thinking, your godbrothers, when you're like, I'm going to top 20, I'm going on So You Think?
They were just like, yo, Dallas is on the map. Like, it was honestly just such support. It was just a journey that I never thought that I would be just, you know, jumping into just at my age of 19 at the time. It was just very a new world, but it almost felt like I was ready for it. It almost felt like this was supposed to happen and I was waiting for this, and I just didn't know when it was going to happen, the timing. And so I was almost, not that I wasn't prepared, but I was just caught off guard with how quick everything was happening, because I've done TV stuff when I was in Dallas, because we called ourselves like mini superstars there, because we had like this dance show out there called Dance Club 21, which was kind of like Dance 360. This used to be a show out here called Dance 360, where Kel Mitchell was the host of it, and it was like, tag your man, tag your man, tag your man. And it was great. It was great. You should look it up. It was a great show.
I'm so into it.
But it was a show that was like that they had in for local dancers in Dallas. And so we had got on the show, and it was like, that was our little, I guess, city fame. So that was like the closest that I had to wanting to make dance a career. So when all of a sudden on a national level, when So You Think came, we all were like, let's try it. And then when I was the one out of all the my dance brothers to make it, it was just everyone felt like they succeeded, and they made it as well.
Your success was their success. That was so great. Wonderful. And, you know, I went back and I was like, gosh, season four, you know, we always talk about it. It's like the legendary season. I mean, just throwing out names, if you guys are young enough and you missed season four, you need to go on YouTube and just take a look. I mean,
you have to,
Twitch, of course, mm-hmm. Joshua Allen, Courtney Galliano, who's now Courtney Pratt, Chelsea Hightower, Mark, of course, Kanemura, Carrington Payne,
yes.
Katie Sheen, William Wingfield, even, you know, Thane Jasperson, if you don't know his name, he's in Hamilton on Broadway.
Hamilton, killing it.
Tons of Broadway shows. I mean, I think he also did Newsies, and mm-hmm. I mean, he's
killing
really
it on Broadway.
Well.
We always knew that he has this personality that is so infectious, beautiful human being. Yeah.
Yeah, and I just, you know, it's just one of those seasons when they cast right, mm-hmm. And it happens. I also felt like season 10 was like that for me as well. Just watching the cast, I was like, I just love everyone on here. And that's what I felt like with season 4.
Oh, thank you. And I hope this season does the same thing.
Well, yeah, I know. I'm like, we can only talk in abstracts about season 14, but I will say that the cast list, which is embargoed, and we are not allowed to talk about it today, otherwise we will get phone calls from Fox publicists.
And I don't want to hear them.
She doesn't want to hear it.
I don't know. Ignore, this ain't nothing.
Not only are they following, the Fox publicist last season let me know that they're following me on not only Instagram, but also Twitter. They read all my articles, and I have gotten phone calls from them saying, hey. They're not mean about it.
They're not.
Super
sure.
nice, but they're like, just get rid of that or don't say that or whatever. And, you know, one time I was like, but Nigel told me. He said it was okay. And they're like, all right, if Nigel told you.
Right.
Because he was like, you can tell everyone that Mary Murphy's coming back. So I'm like, I can tweet it out. He's like, yeah, let's get us both in
Isn't
trouble.
Isn't that awesome, though?
Yeah, so I'm like, Mary Murphy's coming back. Mary Murphy was probably like, what the heck?
I didn't even get the tweet. Like,
what the heck is this girl saying I'm coming back? It's my news.
What is that? You heard it here first.
You did. Just talking about season four, and I want to just explain, because I want dancers that don't necessarily know what happened to you in season four, because you were voted off, and then you came back, and then you voted off again. and the statistics, you have the most consecutive appearances in the bottom 3/4 than any other contestant.
Yep.
It was 6 times in total, which is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So again, you were eliminated in week 5, and then Jessica King was injured, so you were brought back, and then you were eliminated in week 7. So for people to understand, like, this career is really hard. Entertainment industry is hard. I can look at your season and be like, well, you know what? She didn't win. She wasn't a runner-up. Darn it, you're an all-star, and you've been an all-star for a really long time. And it means that, like, Jeff Thacker, who's the executive producer, has seen something in you, and he knew it the whole time.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that.
It's so true. I was at the bottom every week, besides the first one, when I had my bra, panties, and beads.
Maybe that
was the key. I was like, can you give me a couple more bra, panties, and beads outfits and numbers? But no, it was after that week. It was every week at the end, at the bottom. And I never understood why. I didn't get it, because sometimes either the comments wasn't either directed towards me or it was directed towards my partner. And, you know, when one goes down, you both go down, right? Mm-hmm. So it was a challenge. It was a challenge being that underdog every time, trying to, like, and at that time you had a dance for your life. So every week I'm just like, what song? All right, let me pick. And after a while it became so common that I was just like, bottom? All right, cool. All right, my song's track number 2.
Like I got it.
Fine. I'm in or out, whichever. And it just started becoming just this thing where I didn't let it get me down, because I knew it was already such a down moment that if I negatively put my head in that space, then I'm just going to tumble down with it. It's going to be a spiraling effect, you know? And so you never want to feed negative with negative. So I just kind of had this, like, mentality of just saying, you know what? You're a fighter. You do this. This is what you do. You compete. You battle. I battle. I'm a battler. Mm-hmm. And So that wasn't, I wasn't afraid of it. I was only just making sure that I wanted to fight for my life every single time. And when I look back at it, I wish I was a little bit more, I don't know. We always look back at our stuff and like, oh, you know, like, you know, and there's a part of me that does that. But I do feel like then I just had such a spirit to just say, ah, if it's for me, it's for me. If it's not, it's not. So then when I finally got kicked off by top 12,
yep,
I got kicked off by top 12. It was sad. I was so sad a little bit because I actually danced for my life. Like, I really, like, went in. I did some, like, super Dallas stuff. Like, it was just like, never seen this. Like, and you know when you, like, go for it and, you know, you think you have it. And then I think it was just maybe one time too many, you know. And they just kicked me off. But I would never forget. I think a lot of people don't know this story either. This part I'm going to tell you is that the day that I was in the hotel after I got kicked off, I was in the hotel to go back. And they said I had E-Television, all these different, you know, news to go talk to the next day or whatever. And my dad called me from Dallas and was just like, and he's a very spiritual, deep being. And he was just like, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. Big accent. So he's just like, don't worry, I don't believe you are done. I don't believe. And I'm like, what? And he was just like, I have this feeling. Be strong and just stay positive to know that this is not it. This is not it for you. And I'm just like, okay. All right, Dad, bad timing. I don't know. This is it.
I'm 19. It's
this is it. I got kicked off. I'm at a hotel. I'm not at the show anymore. Like, but I hear you. So it was hard to hear, like, you know, someone try to tell, you know, give you this positive feedback. But then all of a sudden, I'm just like, all right, you know, what's for me is for me. It's what's meant to be. And so all of a sudden, right after I get off the phone with him, I get this call. And I get a call from Jeff and production. I can't remember who exactly it was. Maybe it was Jeff. And it was just like, are you still here? Like, are you still here? And I'm like, yeah, I'm still here. And they were like, well, there's a situation that has happened, so we might need you to come back. And I was like, so I didn't know the situation. I had no clue what was going on. Mm. So we had to cancel the interviews. And then I went back to CBS, or I went back to the area. And then I ended up finding out what ended up happening, where I had to end up being started back into the show. And Jessica was hurt. So it sucked because Jessica was hurt.
Right.
That was tough. I was like, what? But she's been hurt from the, I guess, the disco number that she had did beforehand. Or a number that was pretty crazy that her and Will did. Yeah, that was tough. That had her ribs hurt, like that was actually bruised it to a point where she shouldn't actually have been dancing for the next episode coming up. Mm-hmm. I ended up just coming back on the show out of nowhere, and it was a bittersweet situation.
Yeah.
And but yet it was almost meant to be, because I ended up doing one of the memorable routines with Twitch that would have been her and Jessica, would have been Twitch and Jessica, that now ended up being me and Twitch,
which I just watched today. And Laura Dance, I can't think of your handle right now, but you know who I'm talking about. She tweeted out this number today.
And I retweeted it. Yeah. I think I saw that. And yes. I saw that. It was the purple. And I had the glass. And
yes. So if you guys haven't seen it, it's on my Twitter feed. Just scroll down. It is so great. And it really is one of those classic numbers.
Yeah. And it was
Dave Scott, right?
Yeah, it was a Dave Scott number. But it was also one of those moments to tell yourself to never truly give up on an idea or a moment, because you just never know when life switches and changes, and you have to be prepared and ready for that switch and change, whatever it is.
It's a really great point, and I hear from contestants all the time, like, especially some of the 10, 11, season 12, they come later on to me, and they're always like, I wasn't myself. I didn't feel good. I was nervous. And in some ways, it makes me sad, because it's such a great opportunity. So you think you can dance, and they see those opportunities, but I want them to enjoy the opportunity, yeah, because it's so special, and it's like the special summer, and, you know, even just being backstage last year with all the kids was super fun. And so I hope that the contestants this year realize, like, this is going to be a time you're going to remember.
Yeah, but you have to really stay true to the moment and just take it for what it is, and just allow it to take you where you're supposed to be or not. You know what I mean?
It's
just
a journey. Shake off a bad week. Just shake it off. Yeah.
Just shake it off, because you never know what's going to happen.
Really. And you don't know what's going to happen. That's why I always am like, look at these stats, you guys. These are not great stats for Comfort, but look where she is.
But look where I'm at. Like I said, just don't give up. Never, ever give up just because you appear to be an underdog in a certain situation and everything is against you. down. Like, it doesn't matter. It's what's for you is for you. As long as your energy can, like, can topple over what is trying to bring you down, you know, victory always kind of succeeds.
Yeah, it's a great metaphor for life, honestly, because we're always faced with challenges. Season four, you guys are like rock stars. Woo! When you're done with the show, how, like, you're out in the world. What do you do? Like, where do you go? How do you get yourself together?
After the season, we went straight to tour and tour practice and all that stuff. And for some of us, especially for me, this is just like a life that I'm about to see the world. Like, I'm
rock
about
star.
To see what? City to city? Oh, my God. That was incredible. Nothing could have gotten me prepared for that, to be quite honest.
Were you guys doing the stadiums at that point?
Yeah, we were doing stadiums.
They were doing stadiums, you guys. Not smaller theaters.
And we're not even talking about, like, small stadiums. We were talking about, like, sold out. Like, not even, like, cut off here and there. This section.
Like,
no.
Full stadium.
Full stadiums. And it was incredible. We were like, yo, y'all coming to see us? Jay-Z ain't popping out right now. Beyonce ain't nobody coming to the feature. No, it's just us.
No, Janet. No.
And that put my whole life into a different perspective, because it was like, we truly are being accepted as artists, not just as dancers. But you know what I mean? We are artists. You are coming to see us tell you a story, and you are sitting here eating popcorn as you watch us speak to you through our movement, and have you either be up or down in emotion, or you somehow connect to the piece because you have a similar situation that happened to you, and so now you're uplifted from our piece. It's incredible what dance can do in such a huge platform, and it just, I guess, it put all of us in a different headspace to know who we are and what our worth is. And after the show, it turns into, it gets tough, because when you have that type of luxury, you come off of that and you ain't got no stadiums and nobody screaming at you anymore after that. Like, some of these choreographers is like, next.
Like,
on TV? Oh, that's cute.
So were all these other dancers, maybe not on So You Think, but they've been in movies and shows.
Yeah,
and,
so then you have to learn how to come out of that headspace as well.
Did you move right to LA
after
tour? I
moved right to LA with Courtney.
We love Galliano. Courtney Galliano.
With Courtney, Katie Sheen, and Chelsea Hightower, we all found a place together. It was crazy.
That must have been the most fun apartment.
It was so silly.
The stories those walls could tell you.
Oh, man. So it's on the internet. So hilarious. Katie Sheen, I, and Courtney, we just had, like, too much fun. Just dumb stuff.
Yeah. That's amazing. Was Chelsea going right into Dancing with the Stars at that point, too? Or she have, like...
Yeah. She went in right after, I feel like. She was able to get her, like, contract, like... switched and changed, because Dancing with the Stars wanted her. They were like, you now. Yeah. And she just
rolled right into that. Isn't that nice?
It was incredible.
Lucky for her. Yeah. I mean, to be like, I'm moving to LA and I get a job.
Yeah. It was so good. Yeah. It was so good. We supported her so much for that too.
Oh, that's so great. Now, when season 7 came back, which was a format change, which is kind of funny because it's now kind of similar to the format that we have now with All Stars.
Yeah.
When did you get that phone call and they're like, we want you to be an all-star? Were you like, really?
Yeah, I was.
Have you seen my stats?
I was like, do you see what happened? So you do. And it was, but you know what? I was working so hard after that. Like, after I got off the show and then I got off the season, like, I became part of a crew, a dance crew. Mm-hmm. And I was just training and just bettering myself. And we keep in touch with, like, Jeff. We call him Papa Jeff, you know what I mean? So he keeps in touch with us. He sees who's working and who's making sure they're,
he knows.
Elevating in their craft, you know? And all I kept on doing, I didn't know what was going to come. I'm in LA, just too far away from home, you know?
Yeah.
And just trying to understand this lifestyle out here. And when that call came in to do that, I was ready. I was like, yeah, what? I'm about the second chance? Oh, yeah. And I don't have to get kicked off?
Count me in. And Courtney's joining you too. I mean, you've had a long friendship with Courtney too.
Yeah, it was incredible. And Twitch did too.
And Twitch, that's right.
Yeah, so it was, and Mark.
Oh my gosh, the four of you. That's right.
It was we had the most from our season on that season. Yeah.
Oh, that's so great. And mm-hmm. then you guys also did that big stadium tour again.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, they didn't they had some of the people, whoever they were going to choose, to actually go on the tour, cuz I didn't go on that tour.
You didn't go on the tour. I know Courtney did.
Yeah, I know Courtney did, but most of us didn't go on the tour. Like, not a lot of the hip hop heads went on the tour. But it was still such an incredible like season and show, like that I think a lot of people then wanted it to come back because we brought a different element, because you always knew that if you were going to get into our element, we had you. Like, hands down, we had you.
You have to rise to the all-star mm-hmm. and maybe try and even top
and
it.
And try and even top of it. Yeah.
And have you been back, and I correct me if I'm wrong, but 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, you've been back at
every
least
season.
Once every season.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, every season. But, you know, here and there, one time,
yep.
two times, whatever.
So they would bring them in, like, and out, yeah.
Yeah, and then it would also be about your schedule, because I also started to get pretty busy with actually working mm-hmm. in the industry. So then there were some days I couldn't really do it, and some days off, or whatever the case may be. So, yeah, after that, it was just like here and there, one season, two seasons. Because they didn't have another hip-hop girl. I believe they had one. I can't remember what season. Jesus, they blend Mariah. I know her
Mariah
name is Mariah.
Spears.
Yeah, Mariah. Yep. Spears. And that was the last, that was another one after me that they had. And then they had the street versus stage, and they had more choices to choose from for ladies who do hip hop. And so they just never ended up, I guess no one ever really stuck in their mind to come and bring as an all-star. So it was just such a honor and pleasure to be able to be that
I'm the hip-hop girl.
Know, I'm the hip-hop girl. I'm the girl that, you know, that's going to be able to showcase what these choreographers are trying to present.
Yeah, and one number that I really want to talk about that to me defines So You Think You Can Dance, when we think of all those numbers, is with Jasmine Harper, who is an all-star with you this season.
And so
Nappy Tabs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a photo, too, that we can throw up there. I have watched it probably a million times. Exactly. It is. It is that one. I think you guys would turn around just doing that.
We have a little tilt
like,
to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That routine.
Oh, my God. How did you guys live through that? Because I know you came back and did it during the anniversary show as well, didn't you? It's not an easy number.
It's not an easy number, guys. It's not an easy number. It was tough, but it was great because it was it's a bit. What's great about coming as an all-star, to be quite honest, we are not only helping the contestant, but we're also helping the choreographer, because there is a lot of things that I've grown in as my own self and as a choreographer. You know what I mean? I'm starting to now build as a choreographer, and then too was building, and I know grooves, and I'm doing all this mm-hmm. stuff. And so a lot of the things that you do, the choreographer asks for help, or like, oh, what's good here? So there's, it becomes like almost like a nice mesh of collaboration. So like, it was a nice situation of that with Nappy Tab. And I,
awesome.
To make that routine be what it was, to be quite honest. And so all like the grooves and moving around, like all of that was felt so good, because a lot of it was also something that we collaborated on. But the toughest part about that routine was putting the damn nightstand down. I mean, the kickstand down. I was like, we never got it right in rehearsals. Not even on stage before the show did we get it right. And that's how you start the dance. So imagine, like, we ride on the bike.
Come on up stage.
Right. And some people thought I couldn't ride a bike because I wouldn't put my feet on the pedal. I was like, no, this is going to happen too quick. I'm not putting my feet on the pedal. Like,
I know better.
I know what happens, you guys. So for those who thought I couldn't ride a bike, I can. So I'm just like kind of scooting over there. And then we look at each other. We do our part. And then we're supposed to jump off the bike. One foot comes off and then kick the kickstand down, and then, boy, don't even try. Like, right, you only get one shot. It's like an Eminem song, Lose Yourself. Like,
it was
only get one shot. And every time the kickstand either bent and the bike fell over, and we'll still have to keep dancing while the bike is toppled over in the back. Like, how terrible does that look?
And then it's distracting.
And then at the end, we have nothing to hold on to because you're supposed to hold on to the bike. and be like girls. So I always go to her bike or be like, or she'll come to my bike because you know what I mean? Like it just never.
There's only one bike.
There's only one bike. So when the show started and when we actually live, here we go. That's why we looked at each other. And I think they actually even caught me saying something to her. I like they caught my face and I said something to her. I was like, we got to get this. And then all of a sudden when we both hit that kickstand, that was the first time it never failed. We went balls to wall. Like, whoa! Yeah, and that's why like... it was, I think honestly, that's why it turned out to be such a great routine because our energy was like on 90,000 because of how, like, because it just never happened.
And I was like, this is a good Emmy submission. You know, you're submitting for choreography. This is the one you're like, we're putting this one in. Yeah,
here we go. Bow.
Yeah. Navi Tab's choreography. I just, you know, speaking of season 13 now, I just saw Tahani Anderson. Yeah. I saw her on Sunday. She was performing at World of Dance Live at Universal Studios. So she was in the crew and I was like, they're all grown up. So
They're
all grown up.
I've seen a bunch of them. Fast. I was like, this just happened a year ago. What's going on here?
Yeah, they're all like taller than me, which isn't that hard, but it's amazing to me. And I was like, it's so good. I was like, I'm going to see Comfort on Tuesday. It just feels full circle. Have you been able to stay in touch with her?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It comes and goes because I'm always in and out of town and she's always just like working her little butt off, but we do hang out as much as we possibly can. She had came to my new place and like we had did like this cooking show thing because she loves to cook and I love to cook, so we made this little video about like how to cook stuffed peppers. And I taught her, and she was like, okay, and I did the wrapping turkey bacon. We did this whole thing. And, like, yeah, she came assist me for sometimes for, like, certain jobs. And so I'm trying to bring her more often for, like, some teaching so she can assist because I always have, you know, kids in my class, and a lot of them are her age, and a lot of them feel like, you know, they're not good or they need something to – they need an example, to be quite honest. And Tahani, obviously, is a perfect example because she's your age, so you can't say you can't do it. You know
what
I mean?
She can do it. You can do it.
You can do it, yeah. Exactly. So there's that – that's that motivation and inspiration that's there too. So, yeah.
I love that. And there's photos. We have them of the Nappy Tabs number you guys did together.
Oh, man.
And it's just the wall and you guys – it breaks my heart even just looking at the photo, honestly, because she's just like in agony.
Yeah. No, we both had a breakthrough on that because I told her a story of mine and she told me a story of hers for us to be able to relate because we don't see each other on the wall. You know what I mean? You can't see each other in the wall, but we have to be able to relate to a mutual feeling that causes us to come from behind the wall, causes me to come from behind the wall and see what's wrong with my daughter, you know? Am I too busy in my own head that I forget that she's going through the same pain? And so that's what we had to be able to understand what we have similarly gone through in life for real. And so that was deep because we cried beforehand and it was just like, and it was great. She's such a beautiful spirit that she already knows, you know, already knows. She's a very intelligent young lady.
I remember saying to you last summer, I knew you were going to pick her. Like, and I had seen her on the audition before the All-Stars had even come in. And I was like, she's so you think you can dance. Like,
yeah,
there's something about her that you're just like, she's everything because she can do all styles. She's got that personality. She's got that look. Like, it was just everything. And I was like, when you picked her, I'm like, this is so perfect.
Yeah, I loved her. I literally connect to bubbly, crazy personalities thing. Something that you just can't teach. You can't teach that.
It's innate. Now, again, we can't talk about season 14.
Right.
But I just want to say, and I'm going to say this slowly, so it's very gender neutral, but I think that it's a great partnership, knowing who it is.
Woo!
Yep. And but what I want to know, without revealing anything, how did you guys go about the process of picking, maybe a little bit different? Because you learned from season 13 of like how you chose your contestant. Did you go in with a little bit more wisdom, a little bit more understanding?
We definitely had to go with a little bit more wisdom and understanding, knowing that there's going to be a couple of twists and turns this year, too, with also, the decision has to be also made from the contestant on who they really should choose or not, you know? Mm-hmm. So they have also a big choice to make when we end up all, let's say, fighting for one. Like, you know, we make our, you know, our statement of how we feel like they need to be on our team. You know, we give our, you know, little moments and talks, and they choose, and they have to make sure that they choose wisely as well, because there's going to be a couple of twists and turns throughout this season that they want to have a partner, an all-star that can also help them carry, that help carry them throughout the rest of the show.
And what I thought was interesting, the day I was there at Academy Week, you know, we were told, like, they really wanted you guys to even think about picking outside your genre.
Yes, they want us to pick outside our
genre. Very open to that. And I've seen the list, and everyone is very highly cross-trained. So I wouldn't even say, like, that's so hip-hop, or that's your contemporary mm-hmm. dancer. There's a lot of people that you're like, they do this and they do this.
Yeah.
And they do this well, and they do this well.
Mm-hmm.
So
it was tough.
It's a hard season. This one
was really tough because some of us all wanted the same people. So it was just like, the fight was real.
Yeah.
No, the fight was real.
I understand why.
It got real, real quick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And to a point where we all had to like have forums where we had to sit here and be like, all right, guys, let's talk. Because if you do this again,
like, it's my person. Well, and that's what it is. The talent was so high caliber. I'm really anticipating a very good season, honestly.
I feel like it's going to be a great season.
I wrote like kind of a little highlight article today that's up on dancenetwork.tv. If you hit the news tab, you'll find it. But I wrote some of your fan favorites and people that I love and people that I've followed outside of So You Think that auditioned and maybe even made it to Academy Week. They're not on that top 10 list. There's only 10 this year. These are highly qualified, amazing dancers. And I was like, that's how high the talent level was this season. It's unbelievable.
No, it's pretty unbelievable. We were definitely like, we were definitely, you know, taken back by all of it because we were just like, how are we going to fight for this? Like, how are we going to fight for that person? Because you want them. But yet I want them. And then yet we can pick outside our style. So would that person feel comfortable with saying yes to me? Because would they assume that I'm going to kick them off of my team just because we don't do the same style?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it was like a chess game that you had to play and be smart with each other as an all-star cast and as well as the contestants on the other side, which we couldn't talk to. So we can't see what their brain is. They just kind of have to go instinctually with what they feel.
That's amazing. That's really interesting, too, because it is. It's a game of strategy, but you have limitations because you can't communicate. You can't be like, okay, so do we vibe? Do I get this good energy off this person? Can I spend, you know, 8 weeks with them over the summer or not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's going to be great because it's like the same idea of last season, which was what was kids, though. And now you get to do that with adults. And so there's going to be a little bit more of a depth apart like to it where things can just go a little bit deeper with your partner of what direction like some of these choreographers go. So I'm pretty excited to see how deep they go because I know they just can't wait.
They're ready. Well, I know you were doing so many things outside of outside of So You Think, I don't want to focus in on all of that because I love that you are moving into sort of more choreography, even more in terms of being a director.
Mm-hmm.
You just recently worked with Nia Su.
Yeah.
I know, which I felt privileged because you and I had texted.
Yeah,
you
were like, we're trying to get some help on some like locations
working
and stuff like
behind the scenes. And that everyone can go and see it. It's up on YouTube. And it's really
Just Dance.
Just Dance.
Yeah.
And or Just Rock.
Just
Dance,
Rock. Yeah.
Dance Just Rock.
Yeah.
But I love Nia because I think that she's another one that's like, she's a very intelligent performer. So what was it like working with her and collaborating?
God, her and her mom, they were just so beautiful. It was actually really great working with them because she trusted me. She just completely trusted me and this idea. And she came with most of the idea that she wanted to have like a school dance theme. And it was just honestly about me delivering. And in my head, I'm like, how can I deliver this? And I just put so, like, I just had a great team of, you know, people to help with that. And I thank them so much because, you know, it was kind of last minute a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
She just wanted to do this and we were like, okay, me and her have the same manager as well. So it was one of those things where I already directed a video before it, and it was called United We Stand, Together We Dance, where I did this thing where I remade Martin Luther King's speech mm-hmm. with my producer, Beat Slaya, and we did, we put the beat behind it, he made the beat behind it, and so we reconstructed his speech so it sounded like he was actually rapping on the track, so it sounded like a song itself.
Did you guys film in North Hollywood? It looked like you filmed it.
We were actually on Martin Luther King Street in Leimert Park, so I actually wanted to do it in that area, in that section, because it has so much history over there, and it just has so much culture and beauty over there, so I just invited all my friends and people that I know of all cultures, size, colors, whatever, and I wanted to do just this thing where we all, you know, you just all joined a walk together, pretty much a dance march. So she saw that idea and she saw what I put together with that and was basically like, yo, I see the direction you're trying to go. You kind of put messages in your videos. It's not very just, here's a dance video. He was like, I have to sit and think about it and put it together. And then I ended up doing her music video, and it was just so incredible because she has such a great, like, light to her that she's just, you know, when she gets behind a camera, she's just like, and she's also learning too, because this is a different world as well, because sometimes you want to be careful of being the dancer that's trying to be an artist, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you want to be able to naturally, you know, transition into that place. And because I am a person who does music as well, I knew also how to speak to her, to talk to her, to get some of the shots correct, or how we wanted to play off the story and stuff like that. So there was a bit of acting in it as well, because I know she's an actress as well. So I wanted to just kind of showcase all of that. And she was just so open to it. And it was my first time, so it was great.
What were your challenges? Because there's always a challenge. You're like, I didn't expect this one.
There was so many challenges. There was challenges with production, period, because the cinematographer that I used, like, there were some things he just didn't have that I thought that he'd have. And literally on the day of the shoot, I'm like, all right, let's just wing it. Let's figure out how we can do this here. It was just so much that just was going wrong. And then also finding location. And especially a school. And so it was just like asking around, having, like, and trying to do it all in that same time while also I'm working and going from another country to, like, and back. And I had to put a lot of the stuff on my producer and my casting director to help, and I'm emailing back and forth from Korea. Like, it was just a lot of a challenge, because I put a lot on my plate while I already had too much on my plate. So it was like I was doing a lot of things at the same time, which probably hindered a little bit of the situation. But it was a learning situation. It was great. It was something I can be able to have under my belt, so I can say, I'm not going to do this again. I will make sure to have this and this on this situation, like, when it comes down to production, because that's what it is. It's just really about how you shoot it cinematography wise and do that person have that vision with you. And so I just learned so much from it, so now I promise myself I will never do the same mistakes again.
Like, I got it now.
I figured it out. I wrote it all down on my piece of paper.
You know, I love that we now have dancers that are moving in, not into just choreography. It's like creative directing, producing. I mean, you look at what Nappy Tabs are doing right now. I mean, they're taking over the world. They've got boy bands starting it, like, June 22nd. And I sit there and I think they really had a vision of what they wanted to create. And, you know, they're a team. Mm-hmm. But I'm watching other choreographers and dancers really do the same. What's your vision?
Oh, man. My vision is I think dance, art, and music, and even magic plays a really beautiful part in when it comes down to an experience. And I want to create an experience for people. I am a person that also battles, and I go around the world to battle. So a lot of people stay within this country. And I like to go outside of this country. And just because we don't speak the same language, dance is a universal language. And the battle world, street battle world, is where you can see people just speak their movement out loud. And so I want to find a way to be able to introduce that in some type of way and create an experience for that and be able to film that as well. So it's a lot to do, and it's a challenge, but I just want to be able to just keep creating message. Like, I have this big message on self-love and United We Stand and things that are going around the world. So I'm not really that focused or into just doing things that are just irrelevant in a sense of just to do it. I just need it to have a purpose all my things, I just wanted to have a purpose so that dancers can have a voice, and even in politics, you know what I mean? Dancers can have a voice in what's going on in our world, so we can be smarter about our money and smarter about business and smarter about, you know, making sure you are an entrepreneur in your own mind. And, and you know what I mean? Like, all of those things are very important. So I almost even want to create, like, I have this idea of creating a company, which is called Zoners, and Not Comfort Zone is pretty much my company. So I'm just kind of just building this empire idea, but I'm just, you know, focusing right now on how to do it and continue to build.
Yeah, well, it's a great idea, too, because, you know, mentorship is very important in this business, and it's a lost art form. Some people are embracing it more now, which I love, and teaching dancers, especially, that show business. Like, it's not just show. There's some business to it. And it's not, I know we don't want to do it. We want to do the creative.
We don't want to do it, but you got to.
You got to do it. And if you want longevity in this, career. Yeah. And navigating the media. There's so many things. Navigating social media. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, we are in a tough political time, I think, for a lot of people. But this is when the best art is created. And that's why I loved, you know, the piece that you created. Mm-hmm. I think when you first tweeted it out, I was like, this is so beautiful, because it a lot of us feel uneasy. You know, a lot of us don't feel like we're represented right now.
Right.
And like, having a moment like that, like whether it's caught on film or whether you're painting or whether you're dancing, whatever it is, I think this is when the most beautiful things are going
to
happen.
Absolutely. And that's what I want to do. I just want to be able to create an experience that people can maybe walk into and have a place that they can see everything and see art come to life. You know, there's a lot of dancers are now being able smartly, you know, collaborating with artists, people who are painters and sculptures and whatever, you know what I mean? Just to be able to give your mind and your senses a full on, like, a great taste bud.
Like, it is, though.
You know what I mean?
Well, it was one of those things, too. I'm like, I kind of feel like this summer, like, I just feel like this buzz of energy because, you know, World of Dance is here, and so you think is kind of, like, back to the old format. And I'm like, there's so much stuff happening. And I'm like, you know, and I'm like, I feel a little chaotic with, like, the political situation, but I'm like, I feel like we're going to look back and, you know, even 10 years from now and be like, look at all of the cool stuff that was created. This was an amazing moment in time, because people just started to go, I'm upset, but how am I going to tell?
How am I going to do it?
Yeah.
How can we show that we don't like this, or we don't stand for this, or we stand for this, and this is what we're talking about? And how do you do it in a tasteful way?
Sure. How do you make your voice heard?
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, I talk for a living, but you know, you dance. For other people, it is getting more politically active. For me, it's like, I kind of want to, like, shut that down on Twitter a little bit. I'm like, look at this beautiful dance piece. Like, look at this, because there's so much beauty out there right now.
Yeah, so there is so much beauty out there. And so I want to be able to showcase the beauty as well as the self-love. Like, there's a lot of kids, especially with this season, like, I met a couple of them that were their confidence level. You just need to be able to pull people's, like, spirit up, and, you know, and dance does that with folks. So teaching has been a huge part of my life, and it's been my own therapeutic my whole therapeutic life as well is, like, dance and teaching kids or people to just kind of have, you know, self-love within themselves while they're dancing, so that we can actually see it, and instead of just looking like a blank canvas.
Yeah,
you know, because a lot of people look the same, everyone dances the same, and it's like, when do you stand out as an individual? Like, how do you know who you are?
Where's the passion?
Yeah,
we need to
passion?
See it. Yeah. We need to see it, because, I mean, that's what the world's about, like, right now. And I think it's just, like, showing everyone what your passion actually is. Well, I want to thank you so much for joining me today.
Absolutely.
There's so much. I could have been here for another hour. I'm like,
yeah.
A Nike commercial. You guys, she has a Nike commercial that Tyce DiOrio just did. Did he choreograph and direct, or just choreograph?
He just choreographed. Okay. Yeah. Like, so we helped. Honestly, it was a collaboration, too, because I was just running up the steps and turning and spinning and falling. And the director is Angus Wall, and he was absolutely incredible. And I didn't even know what the project was until I got it. You know what I mean? It was just one of those things where I sent in a submission and I knew I wanted it so bad. And so I just randomly danced somewhere and I sent it to them, and then I got picked, and then I brought my track skills back. Like, look,
that's
at
what
them.
I was thinking.
Like,
this is what it happened.
It was like a full circle. Like, I literally had to put back my track skills. skills.
No, but this is good. So you guys, you understand, like, things come back. Like, mm-hmm. you can't, you don't always just throw things away and, well, that didn't work out. Things do come back. Like, I went to NYU for dance. That is what my degree is in. And I'm back full circle being able to, like, hang out with all of you guys and interview you. So it's, you just never know. So it's always, like, keep those doors at least open a crack.
Yeah, just a crack. Just a little bit. Some of them. Some of them.
And it's a great commercial.
Around.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So cool. San Francisco, right?
Yeah, San Francisco. The Lion Street Steps.
Oh, that was amazing.
So beautiful.
Well, thank you for making the time today, because I was just, I was like, I wanted to do this, and I know you were working on all these, like, really cool projects outside of So You Think, and we've got the whole season ahead of us.
Absolutely. Oh, and one more thing. Missy is coming back. We have a show coming up real soon at the FYF Festival in Los Angeles.
Do you know when that's
happening? The 21st of July.
Oh, July. Okay.
Yeah, the 21st of July. So we're going to, I'm be leaving for that to prepare for that soon, because she just had auditions that were like 2,000 people in Atlanta. It was crazy. Everyone, it was so big that everyone was dancing outside.
And Missy Elliott, you guys, is no joke. And you will say, like, she knows where every toe is pointed every finger.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, Missy plays no game with us as our boss.
She's
and
good.
If you're her dancer, you will honestly elevate as a person.
And that's who you want to surround yourself with.
Always.
Always. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Where can everyone find you, all of your videos and everything else?
Okay, where you can find me is Comfort Fidoki at Comfort Fidoki. Everything, I just tagged it as Comfort Fidoki. ComfortFidoki. And that's it.
Comfort Fidoki. All right, you guys. I will be covering World of Dance. Don't forget about that. That'll be happening on AfterBuzz at 9 p.m. Pacific time. And, of course, DanceNetwork.tv. There's so many articles between World of Dance and So You Think You Can Dance. And we'll be backstage later on this summer, which is so great. And we're so happy about that. And we thank you so much for joining us here at Popcorn Talk. I want to tell you, next week's guest for June 20th is Luther Brown.
What?
Lou's coming in.
Lou.
I know, I was so excited. He is all confirmed. He will be with us live next Tuesday. So super excited about that. And you guys, hit me up with questions. We had a great follow-up question to Sandra's interview. If you have one, I will follow up with Comfort, because we like to get the facts. We don't want rumors. It's all about facts. And I will get that out to you guys on my 60-second dance scoops on Friday. Thank you so much for joining us. You can find me at Kristen Burt. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.